and welcome to edition 268 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are once again in our own homes today, mainly due to the latest COVID-19 measures that are being introduced, currently on the news right now. But don't worry, as ever, we'll be bringing you all the latest from Formula One. Today, we'll be going through the chaos of the spectacular Tuscan Grand Prix held at Mugello, as well as looking ahead to Russia. Coming up, all we need to say is WTF. I am Damon Hill, radical and blogger, as well as part-time host Richard Baxter, and joining me on tonight's pod is two times Beckles Kart champion, the Oracle, Kyle Cumbers.
Evening, Rich. How are you?
Evening. Yeah, good, thanks. Keeping well?
Yeah, all good. All good. Can't complain. Can't complain. Plenty good. Of sport on telly, so...
Oh, absolutely. Me. Absolutely. We've got football back now as well as Formula One. So, brilliant. It's a shame we're not there in person, but I mean,
yes,
having it on TV is a good start.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Right. Well, we might as well jump straight into it. It's only the two of us tonight. I'm sure everyone can understand people are busy and still going through lockdown and everything. It's pretty difficult to try and get people together. But I hope everyone appreciates that we're here and we're still doing it. But let's go straight in, because there's a lot to talk about. Mugello. I mean, chaos, right?
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? It was just, it was a mega track. And I was excited, having watched MotoGP for a lot of years around there. And I thought it'd be just good to see the cars go around there, because they'll be so quick. But, I mean, as I said, the previous podcast, there wasn't expecting that great a race, but thankfully I was very wrong. And yeah, it's just, there's one of those races where you look back on it and go, oh, I completely forgot about that bit. Oh, I forgot about that bit, and oh, that seems ages ago. And it was just, yeah, it was just mega. And I hope that's not just a one-off race, and we end up going back. And then, you know, obviously in these incredibly tough times, you know, you've got to look for the positives, and I think the positive of F1 going to Mugello was a big one. But,
oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at the circuit, and I mean, it wasn't very wide. It was very twisty, you know, one big long straight. And I kind of looked at it and thought, there'll be a lot of overtaking down the straight into turn one, and the rest of it will be follow the leader. But I think I underestimated actually how long that straight was and how powerful the DRS is as well.
Yeah, I thought it was a long straight, but I just thought, because of the fast corner on the last bend, so fast, I thought there's going to be so much dirty air and cars are just going to, the front end's going to wash out and they're not going to get close enough.
Yeah.
But because it was so big and so long wide, that part, they seemed to be able to take different lines, and then just to the fact that they just shoot off that corner, didn't they, and then just all hell broke loose.
Oh, absolutely.
Headed towards the first corner.
And I have to just mention one thing, the corner names, having like Arrabbiata as a corner name and things like this. It's insane. You know, today, some of the circuits like turn one, turn two, turn three, we don't do that on these circuits. We give them proper names.
Wasn't Arrabbiata, was that like a pasta or some?
Yeah.
This is where we need Alex on the podcast.
From what they were saying on the coverage, it translates as... The literal translation is hungry, but it can also mean angry.
Yes.
But it's like, I think it's red pasta with chili in it. So it's kind of spicy. So, I mean,
yeah,
the angry bit would make sense. But the corners around Mugello, I mean, I can't remember the name of the complex, but it reminded me of the of Donington and the Craner curves there.
Yes.
And it was just kind of going downhill, and it was kind of a right-left-right situation, and they're pulling 5G in three places in opposite directions. It's ridiculous.
Yes, that was, you know, the camera angle was quite low, wasn't it? It was when they started to go down, wasn't it? And you could sort of see him. Yeah, I just quickly looked at it. It's Casanova.
Casanova, that was it.
It was the right, and Savelli was the left, and then they went into the Arrabbiata 1 and Arrabbiata 2.
And incredible.
That camera angle was just like, oh, this is, I could sit there all day, I reckon, all week actually, just watching F1 cars go down that hill. It was just, oh.
So we'll have to make it and put it on a bucket list, and we'll get that on a trip one day.
Yes. Yeah, but, glass of red wine, I can, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe a bottle.
Yeah. Sounds quite good there, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But we have to say, I mean, the start of the race, we said chaos. The chaos is going to be the phrase that we use for this race. It was, I think, turn three, it all really kicked off, where it kind of ended up as a Gasly sandwich. I think he had Raikkonen on one side, and I think it was Grosjean or Magnussen on the other.
Yeah, was it Grosjean? Yeah, I think it was Grosjean, wasn't it, on the,
and then,
on the right of him, yeah.
Yeah, and Gasly just kind of put himself in a position where he probably shouldn't have been, because it was always going to close the gap, and ended up just kind of going onto two wheels, I think, with Raikkonen going into the back of Verstappen. They were retired at, you know, lap one, turn three, and caused the safety car a bit of madness, wasn't it, to start the race with?
Yeah, sort of. It's kind of it's sort of a racing incident, I'd call it. But yeah, it's just you're trying to get every bit of space, or find every bit of space you can. And I see Gasly probably was the, it wasn't somebody at fault, it probably was him. But it was one of those things, and unfortunately, they collided with Mr. Verstappen, and he ended up beached. Because I think Grosjean was on the outside, but he somehow seemed to get out of it.
Yeah, it was strange. He had a little bit of damage to the side of his car. Mm. But whether he just ran wide and went through the gravel trap or what, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Verstappen there. Of course, he got away well initially, and then his car basically just slowed right down and he fell backwards through the field. Some power-related issue, wasn't it?
Yeah, because they were... said all the bodywork off on the grid, and they're worried about something, but apparently that wasn't that. And a bit like they said, a bit like the issue that he had in Monza.
Yeah,
because said he wouldn't have done the race anyway. But I haven't had a chance to sort of, even if I can find the stats on based on the number of times Max Verstappen's out on the first lap. Seems to happen not often, but at least a few times a season, doesn't it? And I can't think of many other drivers that seem to... Sometimes, obviously, it's not his fault, like, on the weekend, but he seems to have a few incidents on the first corner, like Spa last year. And
yeah, that's true. Just, and thinking back to Singapore when he was caught with the two Ferraris, was...
Yes, yeah. So it's not always his fault, but he seems to get... First lap incidents, he seems to get involved in.
Yeah, definitely.
But Belgium twice now, haven't we? He's gone out in the first lap.
Yeah, I think there was potentially, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah. We'll have to dig out some stats.
Yeah, it may be just, maybe a little nonsense, but it just seems like he ends up not doing the first lap on a few occasions. But if you think of Gasly, come from, how sport is, you've got one weekend of being like biggest event in his racing career, and it could be the high of his racing career, and then the next week you're not even getting to the fourth corner sort of thing.
Absolutely. What a contrast in races. Yeah. I mean, winning in Monza, then going to Mugello and not even finishing. I mean, crazy. But we obviously mentioned, this crash, safety car came out. The safety car then technically caused a red flag, because on the restart, we had Bottas backing the field up as he's allowed to do, basically holding to the very last second to go to try and not give anyone the slipstreams, particularly Hamilton. But the guys kind of at the back of the grid decided it was time to go racing, and they kind of picked up the pace a bit. And we had a Williams, a Haas, a McLaren, Alfa Romeo. They all collided into each other, and it was bloody scary stuff watching that.
Yeah, it's definitely a... because you saw the camera angles, wasn't it? You sort of saw the front start, and you sort of followed them a bit, and it turned around, and you just saw this cloud of, like, dust, wasn't it, and just cars spurting out and hitting the wall. And it was definitely a sort of shout out moment.
Yeah, it reminded me of Belgium in 98 with that first lap crash, just cars piling into each other. It was just that, cars is going into each other.
And then you saw the sort of the onboards afterwards, and it was just like, gee, I think it's Sainz.
Yeah,
the scarier ones. And
someone just moved in front of him, and he was straight into the back of Giovinazzi, I think it was.
There was a moment when a sort of like car pulled away, wasn't it? And then suddenly it was like
Yeah.
Shit, there's three cars right in front of me. I've got nowhere to go. And I'm good doing like 150 miles an hour or whatever.
Oh, that was scary stuff. That really was. And just the radio messages you hear from the guys. And I mean, particularly Romain Grosjean, we've criticised him in the past for his kind of driving standards during races. And he was very vocal on team radio, really kicking off about whoever was at the front, saying it was stupid of them, they're trying to kill them. But you know that things were bad when Grosjean kicks off that bad, you know, that big. And I mean, head of the Grand Prix Drivers Association, I'm sure he still has plenty to say about that.
I think 12 drivers got warned, I mean, after the race from the FIA, and it wasn't the front three, it was all so the ones at the back. I sort of wonder, because people sort of made, I think sort of Mercedes guys were complaining about safety cars' lights going out quite late. So Bottas didn't have a chance to sort of back him up earlier. I didn't really understand that at the point, but then Julian Palmer watched his bit on the analysis of that on the F1 YouTube channel, and that kind of make a bit more sense to me. But I think this is one of those things, really, wasn't it? I mean, and there's sort of big gaps further down. I think it's just, I don't really know what they can do. I mean, obviously they used to have the safety car line used to be a bit further forward, didn't it? Or not, sort of towards the pit lane entry, didn't it?
Yeah. And they could go from there and just...
Yeah. So I wonder from like this track, if they had it sort of where the pit lane entry is and they had to go from then, would it cause as many issues? But obviously then you could be buggered because you could be slipstreamed all the way down to the first corner, but then surely that's a bit better than a huge car pileup.
Yeah, very true. I'm sure they'll look into it and have something. Mm. But it's worth mentioning, following the race restart from the red flag, everything went okay, and we had some actually really good racing in store. I mean, some real proper drivers showing us what they've got. I mean, Daniel Ricciardo, he was up in third place. I think he was really fighting for a podium during the race. And then we had George Russell in the points. I think he was up as high as ninth at one point as well. You know, real good performances from some of these guys.
Yeah, I think Danny Ric has been, sort of the last three or four races, he's been really good. And he was a bit unlucky not to get the podium in the end. But yeah, he's just, it seems to sort of gelled quite well with the Renault. Shame he's moving on.
is it three fourth place finishes he's had in a row now? Because he was fourth at Spa. Was he fourth in Monza?
I can't remember now.
I will have a look at this now because we're on the internet, so we may as well use it.
No, sixth for Monza.
Sixth, okay. So he's still a decent performance.
Just seems to be getting on really well, and I think you kind of wonder if he's sort of building something there. But it was, it's just a bit of a shame. But yeah, it was a hell of a performance, and it's like some good overtakes into that. The first one, I think, was Stroll was getting. I can't remember who. Stroll third? I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Because Leclerc was third, wasn't he, after the sort of restart, wasn't he? And then,
Yeah, he was.
Stroll was struggling to get past him, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, which was strange because the Ferrari obviously, I think, it must have had quite a lot of upgrades because it suddenly was really performing not as badly as it was.
Yeah, not good, but not as bad. Yeah,
yeah. That's it. I nearly said good, but I was like, it's gross. It wasn't.
Yeah, but then he sort of when it started to go, I mean, his tyres were starting to wear off. But when it started to go wrong, he was just losing a place. Every lap, wasn't he? A bit like the Kemmel straight in Spa, wasn't he? It was just like every lap. Oh, somebody else is coming past him.
Yeah, it was just a train of cars going past. Yeah. I mean, it was incredible. But yeah, obviously he fell back through the field. Stroll, you mentioned, he was challenging for a podium for a while until he had a crash. I don't know if it was, he said he thought he had a puncture, whether it was a puncture or if it was a suspension failure or something. but he went off in a big way just as he was starting to catch Ricciardo for third place.
Yeah, he said puncher. I think I saw afterward that Racing Point weren't too sure and couldn't see anything, and we'll probably find out this weekend. But yeah, he's sure. I think he was, where was he? Yeah, because he was fourth at the time, wasn't he? Behind Danny Ric, and I think Albon was behind him. So he was in a strong race. He was obviously ahead of Perez, but I think he had the updates and Perez didn't this weekend based on his championship position. But there's another decent performance by Stroll, and sort of, I was just looking at his results for the season. You think the seventh, well, he retired the first race, but it's the seventh, fourth, ninth, sixth, fourth, ninth, third in the retirement. That's pretty decent so far.
Yeah, it's quite consistent driving at least. Yeah.
There's nothing spectacular, is there? Just he's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to forget how young he is. Mm. Because he is still a young driver, and he can still improve. And I mean, who knows if he does get better? I mean, next year with Vettel, it could be quite interesting, shall we say?
Yeah, but, he just needs that sort of spectacular drive, doesn't he? Sort of.
Yeah, another Baku. That's what he needs.
Yes. Yeah.
Just keep it clean, keep it fast.
Did Bottas overtake him on the line? Or was that one?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
He was second, wasn't he? And then he dropped to third because of Bottas.
Yeah, who just put max power through his engine, it seems.
But it was quite funny though when they're trying to recover that the car, weren't they? And then they're just constantly smoking, and then just the marshals just like ripping bits off it, like the body work, just like ripping bit, chuck some fire extinguisher in there, all those other bit, rip another bit off, and you imagine like Racing Point go, ooh, this is, you know.
Yeah, watching the bill rise for the rebuild.
Yeah, it's like, oh, obviously it's going to be a big rebuild anyway, and probably most of it is destroyed, but I just find it funny, just as F1 car and is ripping the bodywork off.
Oh, absolutely. But of course, because of his crash, the barrier was damaged, so it was red flagged again. And then it was restarted again. Hamilton kept the lead. Ricciardo actually moved up to second place then, but fell further back later on. Alex Albon was looking pretty set in, you know, fifth place. He dropped back a few positions. But to the end of the race, from that second restart, we had more good racing. I mean, in the end, I've got the classification, and only 12 finished the race, which is something like we used to see in the kind of late 90s period, where, you know, reliability for these vehicles really wasn't that great. And I mean, there wasn't any major shocks there, other than, I guess, Williams just missing out on the top 10. They were so close to a point, but George Russell couldn't quite get it.
Mm. Yeah, obviously we're a bit biased because he's, you know, Norfolk's own George Russell, but so I think he was ninth from the restart, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then he kind of fell back to 11th.
Yeah, he had a bad, didn't have a great start, and obviously, Kimi Raikkonen still had his... Because Kimi had a really good start, didn't he? A restart, because he was... So he was towards the back. And, it's just a shame. And you thought always he got a chance to get Vettel, but he just didn't quite have it. You just kind of hope that he gets that point soon, because he definitely deserves it.
Yeah, so definitely.
It's just a bit weird to see them... That's good for Williams, but to see them fighting with Ferraris... It's just, yeah, it just shows you how far.
a bit far of a fall of grace.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah. But it's worth mentioning Alex Albon quickly as well. He finally got his podium, third place. We'll discuss it more in the Norfolk Notebook later on, which, of course, Patreon listeners, you can catch there. But just quick mention to Albon. He did well. He had a good fight back, and he got the podium, and well deserved.
Yeah, I mean, his Monza race was being nice. Was a tricky event. If you look back on, was it Brazil last year? He deserved the podium, didn't he?
Yeah.
Where was it this year?
Austria, yeah.
Yeah, one or two, can't remember now. he deserved the podium. I mean, he may have even won that Grand Prix. So yeah, he's had a tricky few months really since then, but he's he definitely deserves it. And I just hope he has a good bit of confidence from it, and he takes that forward. Because when he overtook Danny Rick, you thought, oh, is he going to catch Bottas?
Yeah.
But then after a little while, sort of Mercedes then went, oh, just, you know, we'll sort this out a little bit and put a few fast laps in, and that was it. But yeah, showed his overtaking skills, which he definitely has.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's Mugello pretty nicely wrapped up, you know. You know, we had a quick run through, but I think we discussed everything of interest and need that was there. So this is a good moment to say, actually, we had a message last week from Rossi on Twitter. Go and check it out. His Twitter handle is at VRHutch46, VRHUTCH46. Now, he's doing something very special, and he's raising money for a hospice local to him. And he has up for auction a signed by Lando and Carlos McLaren hat with the certificates of authentication. He got in touch with McLaren. They sent him this. Like I said, he's going to be auctioning them off with the proceeds from the auction going to charity. So be sure to check it out, because we definitely will be. So keep an eye on his Twitter. The handle again is at VRHutch46. We'll also be covering it where we can, so do keep an eye on our social pages as well. Our social pages, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the handle for all three is at TheNIF1. Other places to head to is Patreon, patreon.com/NIF1. You'll find the full edition of this podcast, including the Of the Weekend Awards, the Norfolk Notebook, and the NRF1 Pit Stops. If you're listening to us right now in Patreon, those are coming up shortly. Email us as well. The email address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And if you're on Twitch, give us a follow on there. Just search The NRF1.
Hello, everyone. This is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Okay, so let's move on. We'll jump straight back into it, and we will go and talk about the next race, which is coming up this weekend in Russia at Sochi. Now, we have... I'm putting a little special segment in here, which is... I'm going to call it Steve Says. So, as our Prediction League specialist, we have a special new segment from our own Steve Rust, where he will give us a breakdown of what we can expect from Sochi. So here it is. Steve Says.
So who do I think this is the most important weekend for? It's a tricky one, really. I mean, with the last race, with so many DNFs, so many people losing ground, you know, there's quite a few people there. You could say Bottas, really, for sort of lost ground to Hamilton. It's a track that he goes really well at, so I mean that's an important weekend for him. But to be honest, I think I'm actually going to go for Max Verstappen, because with his DNF in the last race, he actually lost quite a bit of ground to Bottas. In fact, I think Bottas actually overtook him back to second place. So there's a good 25 points, I believe, between the two of them now. So I think most important weekend is for him to get back on track, really, with second place in the championship. That would be my shout for that one. Biggest challenges. I think... it'll probably be more in qualifying for me, assuming the Mercedes are going to be back up in front, as they pretty much have really been all season. I think the biggest challenge will probably be in qualifying. I think sort of Bottas for the pole position, because this is a track, like I said, where he goes really, really well at. It does seem to suit his driving style. He's got more pole positions here than I think Hamilton has, certainly in his Mercedes career. So the biggest challenger, I think, to certainly someone like Lewis Hamilton will definitely be Bottas for pole position. And if he does, whether he'll break his own track record, which he set in 2008 for qualifying, So yeah, I'll go with Valtteri Bottas on that one. Will the race deliver? Hard to say, really. We've had some fairly decent races in here, but we have had some fairly dull ones, to be honest, at Sochi. It depends. I mean, you've got the big long straight on there. It's easy for overtaking. You know, if you get a good slipstream with the old DRS, should I say. And certainly coming off the back of the Italian Grand Prix, where we had 8 DNFs and, you know, it completely reversed grid by the finish of it. Yeah, it's hard to live up to that one. But, I mean, there's plenty of runoff areas on this track. So if anyone do have any offs, you know, it leaves a little bit of room for error. But we did have 5 DNFs here last year, I looked up. So, I think the race will deliver. We've had a lot of good races actually this year. So I'll stick my neck out and say, yeah, that'll deliver.
Okay, great stuff. So, Kyle, most important weekend four, what do you say?
I feel like I keep repeating myself when answering this question. Valtteri Bottas, one of his favourite tracks. One that he's pretty good at.
I think he's won there before. I think his first win came at Sochi. He should
have won that one when he team orders and let Hamilton by.
Yeah.
He seems to like a good sort of 90 degree corner, doesn't he? And just seems to suit him this place. So yeah, I think it's gonna be it's gonna take a lot for Hamilton to lose the championship, but he just needs to win and just put a little bit of pressure on Hamilton.
Yeah, and of course Hamilton only needs one more win to equal Michael Schumacher's record.
Of course.
So he's going to be fighting all the way. So who do you think will be the biggest challenges for the race? Because I said our Prediction League specialist, Steve Rust. You, of course, are the Oracle, our other Prediction League specialist. So
the obvious one that seems to be Red Bull, but I kind of wonder about Renault. I wonder if Renault will have a strong weekend.
It's a fast circuit, and I think down to turn one, there's a long run, isn't there? That usually you get a good slipstream.
Yeah, I'm sort of wondering, because obviously quick in Spa, weren't there? Sort of, not quite Spa, is it? But it's a reasonable amount of flowing corners. Not slow corners, but I don't know if they're particularly good on slow corners. It's tricky one.
McLaren,
they're quite a consistent car, aren't they?
Yeah, of course, they've been quite similar to the Renault in terms of performance. So let's hope that Renault and McLaren perform well. And who knows? I mean, if Danny Ric gets on the podium, then Gunther Steiner will have to get that tattoo in the end.
Oh, yeah, Cyril, to me.
Yeah, sorry, of course, Gunther's at Haas. You know, confusing myself. Yeah.
Oh, Cyril Unbeatable.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah. I'd love to know all that tattoos. We just need that tattoo to happen, whatever it's going to be.
Oh, definitely.
Because with Danny Ric, it's going to be weird, isn't it? Whatever it's going to be.
It's going to be something crazy. I mean, we'd have to have our own prediction league just to predict what the tattoo is going to be.
Yeah, I think when it happens, we'll have to do a quick sort of straw poll of, yeah, because you look at his helmet the last few years have been pretty weird, haven't they? So,
yeah,
it's going to be poor Cyril. It'll probably happen the last race before he leaves, wouldn't it? It'll probably happen in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, yeah, I probably think he's got away with it and it'll happen. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Right. Is there any predictions you'd like to throw out there for this race?
I'm hoping for a good race. We deserve a good race at Sochi because we haven't
definitely
had one yet. Could be like Valencia, might have to wait for the last race there and then pulls off a cracker. And there'll be some. I think there'll be more fans there this weekend as well, wouldn't there? I think there's 30,000 they're allowing in.
Oh wow, that'd be impressive.
I think it's that. That might be a bit too high, but we should be good. See some fans at a sporting event. But anyway, my prediction will be I'll go for Kimi Raikkonen. Will be the top Ferrari engined car. So yeah, the Ferraris, Alphas and the Haases, he'll be top of them.
Nice. I like that one. He's been doing well this year, Raikkonen. So
yeah,
that's definitely a good shout, that one. I like that.
How about you, Rich?
Oh, let's throw one out there. Let's say pole position won't be leading at the end of the first lap.
The old slipstream down to
absolutely
officially corner two, isn't it? But
yeah, because turn one's a bit of a no turn.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah
slight. But
was it last year when Ferrari tried that complicated?
Yes,
drafting like
yeah. Last year, Vettel I think was third, and he got an awesome start and ended up leading. And then the team call was like, "Yeah, we'll swap the positions around." And he was like, "Well, I'm so far ahead. Why don't we just wait for a bit?" And they were playing around with team orders. And in the end, I think Vettel retired from the race with engine issues.
Because he had an issue, didn't he? He stopped sort of last, sort of behind the paddock, didn't he? That sort of last, sort of slow bit of the lap. And then I think that caused the safety car, which then meant Mercedes could then pit and then took advantage of the safety car, and then they ended up winning. I think it was right. So yeah,
that sounds right. Yeah,
yeah.
So
just Ferrari just making it far too complicated and just
played themselves. Well, who knows? We might see some more of that. Maybe we'll see Ferrari turn it around. Not likely, but who knows? Anyway, I think we're there. I think we're done.
Yep.
But we will return with E269, which will be our review of Sochi. So do keep an eye out for that one. In the meantime, thank you, Kyle, for joining me tonight. It's been good.
Thank you. Thank you, Rich, for hosting.
It's all good. It's the dynamic duo. That's what we are. We're keeping it going. Thank you to everyone for listening. This has been the NRF1 podcast. We hope you enjoyed. As we said, get in touch if you'd like to know anything and forgive us, obviously, for the recording qualities and everything right now. As I'm sure, obviously, recording at home is quite difficult, but we're still going to be bringing them to you to listen to whilst F1 is going. So thank you for listening. Enjoy. And we will see you next time. Until then, good night.